the staff librarian to one full-time equivalent from three-quarters time. Michelle and the library board submitted a memo to me with the justification for that request. The position was, it used to be staffed as a full-time position. It was moved to a three-quarters time to accommodate Megan's some personal things with Megan. And so we have looked through that. And I discussed with Michelle. I think Megan's doing a great job at the library. I think the programming and things that are happening specific to her position, I think she's doing a really great job. And I've been really impressed with things that the library has been able to do over the last few years. So I am supportive of that change. The change would result in an approximate increase of a little over $15,000 in wages and benefits in FY 26. The second one is moving the social service associate from one full-time to three-quarters full-time. Again, there's a justification memo for the social service director.
What? From three-quarters time to full-time?
Sorry, yes. Backwards. So there's a memo, and I have talked to Diana extensively about this. Again, Tia's doing has been a really great addition to the to that side of the building. I think we've kind of talked a little bit. I think that in the summer it's really justifiable, but in the there are a few things I think in the slower time of the year that I'm gonna have to work with Diana to make sure that we're filling that time appropriately. I think there's kind of starts just there in the long winter where you know we don't get as much service in there, but I think that it is justifiable. I think we talk maybe long term about the department and kind of building in the succession plan. And I think that was really good at the position, and I do advocate again for this request. It would result in an increase of just under $15,000 wages and benefits in FY 26. Any questions so far?
Those memos that you're referring to, I guess they're in the packet, right?
Okay.
That's all that you have.
Yeah.
That you're basing it off of.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking a lot of volunteers at social services. Someone.
Diana's not here, but they have not had a lot of volunteers over the past couple of years. I think after COVID, the volunteers have just kind of slowed down a little bit. I thought Diana was going to be here, but she didn't get the memo.
You know, she said she was still.
Yeah.
Maybe she thought it was the other way around. The order.
Oh,
I'll do it first.
So then we'll move on to some conversations that I've had with John Brown regarding the water and sewer deputy director. So the deputy director position was created in 2019 and was a direct report to the town manager. So they had created the position and then it was a direct report to the town manager. When we redid the staffing plan in 2021, we moved the position to report to the public service director. So we, at that time, had the deputy on the public works side. It was also the building inspector, Casey, and then this position. So John Brown accepted that position in 2022. John is taking the position of interim public service director. We'll be interviewing this week for the permanent position, which in that works out, I would leave this position vacant. So in my discussion with John, and my understanding of water and wastewater, so he has the licensure to run our operations, and he can also supervise and direct staff to do most of the tasks at the plant. Just under his direction, there are certain things, and he can maybe talk specifically to those tasks that he needs to physically be there, other than it's testing or certain aspects of the plant operation that he actually needs to have a little bit closer supervision, which we've talked about and he should be able to do. And then we have received feedback just from the public services staff, you know, that having three supervisors created some issues in the past where they were getting, you know, it just because of how dynamic some of the situations can be in that department. I think there were times where they were getting three different sets of instruction, and I think that was creating some confusion. So I think to have just the director and then the director of the streets, and then have John just oversee the staff in the, and we'll talk about that in the next one. I think would be we'd be able to have the operation without that layer of supervision. So then the last one, so to take that deputy to director position, so once the new plant is online, we'll have to have trained employees to operate the facility. And so what our suggestion is that we currently have one sewer and water equipment operator position in the staffing plan. So what this would do is create another that position and eliminate the deputy position. So just swapping that position. John has informed me that he's working internally with staff members on working on their licensure and certification required to fill these positions internally. The issue with the licensing is that they take time. You have to have time on the job, and then you have to be able to pass the tests. So there is like certain time periods that need to pass before you're even eligible to take the testing. We will have this, if this is approved, we'll budget for this position in FY26, but we're not in a position to fill these positions while we're working internally. And obviously the plant is not online until next year. And then just for a note, at some point we would probably be advocating then to have a lead operator. So we'd have a lead operator who would work under John. They wouldn't be a supervisor, but they would probably have additional responsibilities probably tied with their licensure, with their license position. But that would need to be negotiated through the union and further discussions down the line. So the net decrease in wages and benefits from eliminating that position and making it into a sewer and operator two would be about $27,768 in FY26. As I mentioned, I've talked that over with John, and he is supportive of that. So the total budget impact of all the staffing plan changes that we're proposing would be plus or minus $2,663.47, and that's depending on overtime and other things that happen during the year, but that's about as close as we can get at this point. So.
So what would be the incentive to go from equipment operator? We equip the operator, please.
Fine. So there's more money to become a water and wastewater operator added to your equipment operator stature.
So right now we have two of them, but we have one before. So how much more money are we talking about?
So to get that position, to get those licensing, I believe is only like a dollar more.
Yeah, so in our In the current contracts, they have steps where they have to be able, they have to have a certain amount of time. Was it 36 months, I think?
Yes, there should be the journeyman status.
So in order to qualify for that step, they have to be in the organization for 3 years, and then there's certain things that they need to check out their box in order to qualify for that, and then that includes the licensure. So that they know, and John has those conversations internally that he's leading them to say, look, you need to have 3 years in the organization and you have to work towards these certifications to qualify for those positions.
I'd like to make a comment right now that Sam Moldenhauer has his water license, his treatment license, and he's working diligently on his 3C wastewater lagoon license. He cannot apply for his 1C foam mechanical facility license until the plant comes online. But with Sam's background and time spent for his 3C license, he should be able to test for that 1C license quite rapidly once that plant comes online. And then I also have another gentleman, Michael, that is very diligently trying to get these licenses as well. Wants to be, he's really interested in the lab work, But that's just not the only staff that I want to bring online. My goals are to bring all of them online in time with water licenses and wastewater licenses, just to be part of that package. I think it's imperative now. Under my supervision, they can work at the wastewater treatment plant and make decisions and make changes as long as I am implementing those changes through me until they're a licensed operator. And then once they're a licensed operator, they can make those changes themselves.
So I had a question. I got to add one more thing. Yeah. So they would also not only be operators for the plant, but then they would also be able to pop snowboard and they can transfer. You know, if we need them on the street side, they're also able to do that as the workload allows.
So when we toured some of those lagoons, or treatment facilities, DEQ like made a couple of them have certain people and certain hours and that. Are we going to run into that? Or
No, I don't believe so. I mean, one of the things is this is obviously this wastewater treatment plant is an unknown. We don't know what it's going to take really to run it until we get our feet on the ground and see what it's going to take. But with my background and my experience, you know, and I know, you know, we can work these guys into this situation where they're running the plant. And obviously the SCADA programming is going to be running this plant as well. On-time experience, trying to figure out how this plant's going to run, how it's going to operate. First year, it's going to be a little bit shaky, but I think it'll balance out. But the interesting thing to me is the guys are getting where they're seeing this plant being built. They're starting to get intrigued with it. They're starting to get want to be involved with it. And I think once you find that this plant is up and running, everybody's going to want to be involved with it. It's just a neat part of the puzzle. And that's what I'm trying to do is bring all this into one. The equipment operations, the wastewater treatment operation, the water operations, the repairs, everything in the streets that we're doing as one umbrella. Not just trying to separate that umbrella, but trying to make it as one.
So just to clarify, Dan, basically, the budget impact is roughly, we're going to call it $3,000.
Yes,
correct. Just
yes.
For the waste, for the public works.
No, that's the total net.
Now you're talking about another 15 grand for library and social services.
No, so those would be.
Those are offset by losing.
By losing the director.
But we may decide to go with some of the recommendations and not all, so we should probably understand what each impact is.
Yeah, so like I said, the staff library would add about $15,500. Adding the social service associate would be $14,914, and then that would be plus. And then if you were to move the deputy water and sewer operator to a water sewer operator two, that would be a negative $27,768.38. So it would be a decrease in salary and benefits for that position. So the net of all the changes would be around $26,000. You're to consider all of them.
Plus, because we lose three,
yeah,
then we pick up six.
Two.
Yeah.
How much did we add to our budget this last year with adding a deputy water?
I've been on the staffing plan since I've been here. We just didn't have a position filled, so we didn't really add anything because we always had to budget off the staffing plan.
How much does it cost, actual cost, then?
I'm pretty sure she's around 50-something, right? For Rick's position?
At least.
Yeah, it's like
50,000.
With benefits?
No, with her benefits, well, and that one's complicated because she's married to another employee, so the benefits aren't full.
So add another roughly 5,000 for benefits. So there are 65,000 we added to costs for.
That's not
position.
It's closer to 58,000.
65. Okay. We have to roll from.
Yeah, from budgeted for
Kelly
okay. Three.
Here she was hit with 58 and 3 years without her. So,
well, I was still on the seven plan, so I was still watching for it.
But it's
previously
it was
spending
the money at that, though.
It
yeah.
was an executive assistant for like 5 years before that. So, it's that position's been on.
Else have any other questions, comments?
Hey,
Dan, or the, yeah, go ahead, Travis.
This looks vaguely familiar, but it was like this not too long ago. And so I like that going back, and a lot of that's just, you know, you adjust these for needs. A lot of times it's personality, sometimes it's skill sets and training and so forth. I kind of like there was some uncomfortableness when we went and separated that out, kind of two silos, and I like this with the public services to go back to the single silo, but have those two guys or gals, whoever, those two positions that flow to the Oregon attic. It's great. So, yeah.
I'd like to make a comment on that. Just the staff is much happier and more directive and more informed, just better on board.
Anyone else have any comments, questions? Go ahead.
I'll just make a comment. I think I support all of the proposals except the social services position doesn't really sit well with me. I think that when you look at the library, for example, versus social services, I know that they both fill important needs, but I think as far as our community as a whole, the library is continuously increasing the services they provide. They provide computer tech support now. I mean, it's really a great resource. I mean, I think if you look at the staffing comparatively, I don't think there's a justification for putting more of our town taxpayer money into social services. And if the intent is to the letter says do more grant proposals. Writing is good. How much grants, how much money in grants do they currently increase?
For the social services, they roughly get, well, I know they already got 25,000 this year, and they'll probably get close to another 10.
So, I mean, I've heard a lot of people say they volunteer in social services in the summer. I guess it seems like if there's a need, like if Diana needs to go run errands or Tia, that we've got a deputy clerk now who's actually, you know, filled the role. We've got, you know, a lot of other people that I think could probably man the office in that interim period. Thanks. Those are my comments and questions.
Yeah, I mean, we can operate without any of these changes, but to be really frank about it, you know, like.
Well, I know the recreation coordinator too. Like we, you know, last few years, I mean, there was hardly anything going on, it seemed like, for recreation. I know we've made some changes, but, you know, maybe if they have, you know, even social services for some extra help, bring that recreation coordinator over to help out. I mean, I just think we, you know, we say no to people who want 15K to put community pickleball courts in, but yet, you know, we're proposing we'll add more hours to an area that I don't see a need, but I'm not there day to day. But I guess I just don't understand that particular proposal.
Yeah, like I said, it's a request from Diana.
But you said you support it, though.
Yeah, like in theory, I'm supportive of it. But again, justification needs to come from her, and she needs to be able. Like I said, I had some questions about, especially during the slower time, like what services are we providing? That is a hesitation that I've had. But I told Diana that I would bring it forward for your consideration. So, I mean, that's a question you guys can mull that over. Like I said, we will. If that's something we don't want to proceed with, we will be able to provide the high level of service just the same as we are today. So,
during your presentation, Dan, you mentioned kind of long term planning on this. maybe that's part of the support from your position, is Diane is probably close to retirement, I would assume, and if we kind of in-house train that a future, then we have potentially less headaches in the future, right?
So, yeah, and I think that was one of the considerations, I think, is just to, so that we're trying to do a better job building it verbally, you know, that because of the issues and the struggles that we have with staff, you know, our desire is to try to train people to so that we can promote internally. That's one of the goals that I have, is that we're training people so that we don't have to hire externally.
Thank you.
So do you feel that providing 8 more hours of time to Tia will allow her to get trained where she's not getting trained now, or?
That might be a better suited question for Diana, but you know, I've talked a little bit, and I don't want to talk too much about succession planning, but I think Diane is intended to be here for a while. Like, yeah, even in our conversation longer than I kind of anticipated, so.
I mean, I know a couple of years ago she was in here really wanting a raise. I'd rather see that money go toward a raise for Diana, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's advocating for the support. That's, I mean, that's what her request is that she has somebody. Obviously, in her justification, she laid out some of the points of why.
Was this always a 3/4 time position, or was it also one of those ones that's flip flop back and forth?
I think it has at certain times. I think it has.
It's flip back. It started. It was me, 10 hours. So if you want to go back 25 years, it's flip flop all over the place. It's gone from 10 to 40 to 20 to 30 to
just kind of whatever the needs are at the time. Okay. Anyone else have any other questions or comments? Anyone in the room or on the online Zoom world regarding their staffing plan? All right. Well, if you'd like to make a comment later on, you can, because we're not done yet. We're going to move on to our final budget review then. Katie, I'm just going to turn it over to you.
Okay, I'm going to choose to stand tonight just because I'm really tired of standing all day. I use my standing desk near enough today. All right. I mean, they do, but. All right. So we have a 75-page budget in front of you for fiscal year 2026. I just wanted to highlight a few things with updates that have come up in the last month or so. Just so you all are aware, we're going to start page 3. We're going to talk about the special budget requests that we reviewed May, June-ish. And you will see everything has been approved there. It's under legislative services under 870. So you have the West Yellowstone Foundation bus of 25,000, music in the park of 8,000, fireworks of 15,000, BIC staffing of 50,000. You have two there that are under that line item but still approved within the budget. So you have your pickleball courts of 14,000. That was the requested amount. That's on the bottom of page 15. And then you have the chamber building bathrooms. Last year we moved them under that special budget request, but it kind of got sloppy when we were looking at that number. So we put that back to where it was before under the chamber building. That's at the bottom of page 8. So you'll see chamber building and then cleaning of chamber bathrooms of that 33,000 that was requested. So everything that was brought to you is in the budget. I just split those into the more appropriate, as we discussed, a little bit more appropriate places in the budget. And just to make sure our 870 account didn't get too crazy there. So just want to let you know that is all in the budget. I have adjusted the budget to include all of these potential staffing plan updates, so that way if all of these are approved tonight, they are accounted for in the budget, so you don't have to worry about that. Obviously, we don't have to spend all the money if there are some changes. Let's see. So then, also on page 15 under parks, the Parks and Rec Advisory Board is doing an RFP that will be coming to the council shortly to do a master parks plan. And I think it's being advertised for around 15,000, but we've budgeted 20,000 for that master parks plan because we don't know what that number will come in at quite yet.
What page is that one on?
About 15, so under parks. And then it's 357, other professional services. You'll see that note of master parks plan of 3,000. So that's an adjustment. And once again, you'll see that pickleball court's 14,000 there at 930. Project 930. All right, and then this is not a change from what we previously discussed. I just want to point this out again on top of page 17. This is for the Little Rangers Learning Center. We discussed early on in the budget season paying off that loan. We would only have about a year and a half left on it, but just to get that done, the interest rate has like tripled on us in the last month. So if this budget was approved, then I'll plan on getting that paid off. We'll have it on the next claims list just to hurry up and be done with that so we don't have to keep accruing that crazy interest. As that one was a variable rate loan. So I just want to bring that to your attention. And then kind of towards the middle of page 19, I can't remember if this adjustment was made on the last time you seen the budget or not. It would have been really close to that time, but last year, I'm looking at that revenue bond, so 490200, the principal and the interest there. Last year, we paid off our loan with the town hall, and so I just adjusted that number back down because we don't have to do that anymore there. So we only have the 80-acre loan left in this category, so that would just be our payment, that $77,829. Dollars of principal and $9,884 of interest is just what we would vote for the 80 acres of this year. That.
So we'll have the 80 acres paid off the year after?
Probably not. We still owe quite a bit. That might take us another year or two.
Okay.
We'll look at it. We'll see. Because that interest rate has gone up on us as well. But with the wastewater treatment plant and those bonds and stuff too, I just want to make sure. So I don't want to speak to that yet.
Okay.
Katie, on the first page, are you going to go back at all?
I am.
Let's get through the budget.
Is that okay? Sorry, yeah. Oh, did I spot here too? Sorry, I just marked my changes as much as possible. Okay. And then I did mark this one in blue. I know it was discussed, but on page 22, this is the map. They did reduce their map to 200,000, but they're giving out this year instead of the 250,000 based on they're not doing a big event this year and just how much they went through last year and affected their cash account. So just want to make sure that I know there will be some map requests coming up soon. So I just want to make sure that's brought back to your attention. Okay, now we're going to jump to page 45. So this is a new fund that could be adopted tonight, and this is a community housing fund. And with this, we are looking at, there's many options when it comes to community housing in the future for this town, and many options that the town can look at. So I wanted to keep this as a very generic fund for us to be able to transfer money in to be able to help with those needs of our community members and for housing for them. So this fund is added into our budget if adopted tonight, and we would be looking at potentially going up to $500,000 into the Gallatin County Housing Impact Fund, which would be part of the apartments off of Gibbon, and helping with that housing co-op, potentially. Doesn't mean we're doing it. When we adopt this budget, does not mean we're doing that at all. It's just giving us the option if we choose to do so. That is just opening up that gateway, or we could be using this money elsewhere.
Can you explain what you mean by putting it into that?
So the Gallatin County Housing Impact Fund, we can, the best way, I guess, to describe it is it's like, it's almost like a scholarship with a lot of regulations on it. And we wouldn't have to administer it. They do on our behalf, but it goes basically into this big fund that already has millions and millions of dollars in it and accrues interest, and then it helps with our regulations. We can say we only want this used for West Yellowstone housing projects, and it has to be within these guidelines that the council would set. And then basically, if a need arose in West Yellowstone and they went to the Gallatin County Housing Impact Fund, they could pull those monies and use it for that project.
But I guess my question is, Pat, what do you mean by use it for that project? Like the Gibbon Avenue project, how would that money be used? What does that mean?
So it would go as an assistance to those people, and then they would have to pay it back. It's basically like a low interest, or in some cases, depends on what the council decides, a zero interest like loan to these people to be able to pull from. Almost like a line of credit. No way.
So it's a revolving fund. So it would be issued as a note, and then the note, they would issue as part of the funding stack. This would be if they were to use whatever, if the project needed $100,000 to break in pencil out, they would go to the Gallatin County fund. They would say, we have a project in West Yellowstone. They met the parameters. They would issue the note, and the note would be repayable.
Okay, who are they?
Who would ask for that?
Yeah.
I mean, it... Those are parameters I think we'll have to set specific to the housing goals of the council.
What benefit do we have by putting our money in a larger Gallatin County fund versus just keeping it here in our town?
It's a lot of time to administer something like this, because you'd have to try, like, make sure everybody paid monthly, make sure the interest, when they already have a system that's all set up, and it just runs. And it keeps us from accumulating that cost to getting our own system, you know, and just another thing for our office as well. I have another call with her, and like I said, we haven't, because obviously the council hasn't, but it's just an option for us moving forward. And a lot more will be brought to the table about this and answering questions. And I just want to make sure that's very clear, that with this budget adoption, you are not agreeing to that. It's just an option for our fiscal year 2026 that we saw as a potential items we want to make sure was funded.
I mean, you referred to the Gibbon Avenue project. I've asked Dan a few times with total pushback, for he forwarded the council an email that Scott Hazleton had sent on behalf of our town, I believe he said. And somebody responded to it, and he sent the response. But I would like to know, like, what was being represented. I don't know enough about this project to know why we would want to invest our town funds into that project. Probably had you given information I requested, I'd know a little bit more. But
I think, like Katie said, this is to put this in the budget. But if a project is going to move forward, the council will have other opportunities to make some of those decisions. This is just to establish that as part of the budget. But it's not obligating the town council to anything. The details of what I don't know what the request is going to be.
Well, I thought you said later that the Gibbon complex was under contract. Somebody else was purchasing it.
Yes, NeighborWorks is. But NeighborWorks has certain things that they need. So when they're building their funding stack, they have certain requirements, things that they have to they have certain requirements of what their funding is for. So we have, and like I've explained to you before, we know with subsidized housing that it takes a lot of different creative funding steps to make a project go. And we're trying to present an option to the community that would be a revolving fund, that would be future investments. And so the, as they're paying the note back, it's replenishing the fund. And as we're discussing other housing projects in the future, that people, if it meets the parameter, can draw from that fund on an ongoing basis.
So what's NeighborWorks? Like, is it a for-profit organization?
No, they're a for-profit organization.
And they have their own staff.
I want to bring it back. We're kind of getting off topic here. The purpose of this is really just not to get into the weeds of what the money's going for yet. It's just to set the put it into the budget, and we can decide and discuss that at a later meeting. So it's not too much of the weeds of what it's going to. Just yeah, this is just to set that up so we can proceed forward and shoot that up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to then jump to page 52. And this kind of just talks about some of our capital projects with equipment and what we're looking at. We've been having quite a few meetings in the last 6 weeks,
yeah.
Well, longer than that, but really intense 6 weeks with John Brown and Dan and myself of looking at our equipment, a replacement schedule, trying to get that built, and looking at what we need to make sure that we can be successful here and fixing what we can fix, and then also realizing what we need to say goodbye to. So with that, the first item on this page I want to bring up first is the law enforcement administration, that transportation equipment. I lowered the amount because last year we were paying for three police cars because we were looking at fiscal year 24 police car, the insurance vehicle, and fiscal year 2025 police vehicle. So we're just looking at fiscal year 2026 now. So I wanted to make sure that amount was lowered and properly represented on there. And then when we jump down to that road and street services, so 430-200 machinery equipment, I outlined there what we were possibly looking at purchasing this year. And John has been working extremely hard on getting us multiple bids. And then he goes, gets a bid, and shoots them out, tells them he needs a big lower their amount. And then he keeps changing numbers on me, but it keeps going lower and lower, lower because he just keeps calling and telling them they need lower. So this is the most up-to-date numbers I had and got those in there. We are still looking. The only generic number you'll see in there is for the public works truck with attachment, just because we're looking at some different options and still trying to figure out exactly what their need is there. But otherwise, we're pretty much down to the dollar.
Three things that would
the next. Yeah. Yeah, and so you'll see those in your purchase orders tonight, too, for the regular council meeting. But I just want to make sure that outputs are included in the budget and spelled out for you so you had a clear understanding of what we're looking at there.
Does that freight liner is the dump truck at this time?
Awesome.
And then what about the vacuumator, the vacuum?
That is not in this scope of this year. So I wish it was the south.
We'll get him a wastewater treatment plant built first, and then we'll talk about it on enterprise funds. Let's get a wastewater treatment plant up and going first.
I can't send that battle right now. So I'm just not going to go down that road.
Yeah, that bill is strong.
Yeah.
All right. And then if we're ready, we're going to jump to page 71. So towards the end of your budget year, and I had this in there before, I believe, but I just want to point it out again. This is the sewer replacement depreciation fund, and I just, on that treatment and disposal on 940, I entered a SCADA system for the wastewater treatment plant. I know this was discussed a couple months ago in a meeting, and I feel like we're better off just using town funds and not going out for bonding on that. We talked about possibly going out for a bond on that, but we can make it work this way. And so I think it's just best not to get a whole bunch of interest on that as well. if we can. So that's the plan. And then I also adjusted down 9 million off of the wastewater treatment plan since we spent that in fiscal year 2025. And so I just wanted a more fair representation on the budget. So that 951 was adjusted down.
Katie, when it comes to these grants, in the event that we don't receive the income we're anticipating, can you then turn the grant after? Can we get a grant down the road?
We can always get grants. We can always get grants down the road. Wouldn't it necessarily be for the wastewater treatment plant, but for some of our other enterprise fund projects, like building number 3 or something like that. I can always go after those grants and help us out to shift things. With us going through bonds and just closing last week, like we have to prove and have so much of a coverage requirement, it's 110%. And so if they're that confident and someone's buying our bonds, I'm more than confident too, but that we're going to be fine. We have to be able to collect on our water and sewer, and we do. And believe me, there is every 30 days if someone is delinquent, we're sending them notices. We are very, very diligent in our department about that anymore. So people get a letter and they pay. So I'm not that concerned. I think we have literally 4 people right now that are delinquent. Like, and it used to be a list when I got here. But we're very diligent about that. And so I really don't have that concern. Okay. So those were my highlighted bright neon stickies. I'll open it up for questions for anything in the generic that you guys saw or any questions that you have.
All right. Travis, start the people. Any questions?
Sure.
Fire away.
What's
page numbers, too?
On page 15, you move the pickleball court under general fund.
Yeah.
Would it make any more sense? And it doesn't matter to me. I just wondered. Initially, my thought is it should go under page 52 for capital projects.
Yeah.
Any reason to go one way or the other with that?
It was a great debate. There's not really a correct answer, but it went either way. And I decided to keep it under the general fund just because especially if they're going to be contributing money towards us too, we would put that underneath our general funds, and we have an account to receive those contributions that way. And then that way, it's just a way easier flow in accounting and stuff than us trying to move money from our 1,000 fund to our, or I think it's 40-60 fund.
Good.
It is for parks. So it just made it way smoother and one good look for when we have to put all that money together for those people.
But she didn't opt to pull them.
Didn't opt to pull them.
From the budget.
Oh, no.
Just kidding. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I just kept that under general for that look.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I'm learning with these financial reports. The smoother and cleaner it looks. So
makes my well, that makes sense. I appreciate you sharing that with the donation. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Right? No? Jeff? Lisa?
Page 1, real property tax. The number this year is a lot lower than that just because we haven't received our second half portion.
We have to. There's still a little bit to be reported there. Yeah. And people, a lot of people yield their like property taxes and then refuse to pay, but we're still supposed to be getting that money. So there's been conversations for the Gallatin County, but we're getting it. That's a pretty large increase, but yeah, see, we'll get it.
You fill me in. Let's see, Shane is here. How are we handling our Epic Basin Fire District contributions budgeting? Where's that page?
We're following the contract, so it went up 1 cent. Usually one of the first things I do.
So if we alter the contract, modify it, or put a new contract in place, how is that going to affect our budget for the rest of the year?
It definitely affects it, right? But it is in the general fund. So when it comes to the grand scheme of things, you just can't go over your expenditures for the fund. That's when you're seeing some of those objects or line items that go over budget, but I'm like, we're fine because the overall fund is fine. So there is some room always, like in our general fund, like we have to be careful, right? And like always mindful, but that's where you get in trouble is if you go over funds. And believe me, I will be sending out red alerts if we even come close. I will be stopping John Brown immediately.
And do we have department head stuff? Police department. Are we factoring in extra for recruiting, hiring?
So we always factor in there's this one account for like when people leave us, right? And we factor in paying out their sick vacation and what our contracts say on that. And then, yes, of course, like with the police, it's really hard because right now our officers are probably getting a little bit more over time because they're losing an officer for coverage. So it is always a game I play when I'm dealing with wages is trying to guesstimate how many hours of overtime we're going to have and how that's going to look and when you have someone coming in that you don't know what they're going to negotiate their salary to be. It is hard, but I feel confident that, once again, it is a general fund item and I put my best foot forward on the best guess I could do.
Do we have, where is the snow removal app that we pay by state? Where would that be? Because we've spent a lot of money on dump truck rental last year. And I'm assuming if we have our own dump truck, we're going to significantly reduce what we would have to
be trusting. And you can replace all of them. We're only replacing one. Replacing one.
But that should help. What? Like, how much have we budgeted for what we're planning on paying Tri-State? And is that contract still in place, or was that just a year?
It was just a year. So they'll probably come into us probably in the next 2 months or so with those. So right now, and we flow through this number every year, but I believe this is the right line item. I don't have...
It'll be 361.
361. 357, right?
357. You speak this.
Yeah, 357. Okay. So I think it's 30,000. We've kept that number in there last year too. We've got it down. The year, no, that can't be right. That number's not right. Hold on, sorry, 1 second.
What page is that?
I was looking under streets. So I was looking at page 13. The year before was so much more. Oh, sorry, it's 398 ahead.
Other contracted services.
Other contracted services. Yeah. So my first year, yeah, it was like over 200,000. And then the next year is closer to 20,000. We didn't spend, this can't be right.
You got one under streets and lighting under 357 under other professional services for 37,000. That's the one.
Should be under streets. It's close to 30 to 40,000, I bet it should. So that's what I'm thinking, it's 357. I might have moved it out of the 398 or something like that. Last year, because we spent 54, which I can get you a full Tri-State report because there are other things that we pay for under that line item. But I can get you a full Tri-State report. Well, but I'm pretty sure it's budgeted under on page 13 in the middle under 357, 30,000.
So 30,000 covers everything that we pay Tri-State for the year, so I've budgeted.
For snow removal. Road base comes out of it.
Okay. And what did we pay though this last year? Was it the contract?
I think it was at 54,000, but we were hoping for a reduction this year.
Plus the dump truck, right? So that's,
yeah,
25,000-ish,
yeah. And yeah, like that 1 year, that was crazy because it was such a heavy winter. It's one of those things too. I have an idea. It's going to be a light winter.
I need to turn how many hours we need, but yeah, I'll make note to make sure I spell out tri-state in the future.
Did we account for all of the department head requests, or were there some requests that were deemed important by the department heads that we didn't include in the budget?
Are these staffing changes?
No, for like equipment or
whatever. There were some they were told not to.
They also go in
marketing.
They also go into the CIP. So part of the CIP discussion is sometimes we're just shifting them into the out years. So when we're having the discussions with the department heads, we kind of go through, okay, what are wants and what are needs, and then we kind of parse from that to try to keep a tap on the budget. Or John Brown would have $5 million with the.
He only had increases and no decreases, even though on some item he only spent $1,000 instead of the $20,000. Increases a little bit. We're looking at that.
I'm
just wondering, what were the biggest requests from the department heads that we didn't account for in the budget? So we know.
Replacing all of the trucks kind of on a rotation. So not instead of doing all of the trucks at once, spreading them out a little bit, so as they're coming offline, we're not coming back online as a big expense again.
So it really comes down to a 10-year replacement.
Right. And not just public works, I'm talking about all of the departments. I think you have talked about your equipment and I asked about the vacuum truck and stuff. So
yeah.
But all the other department heads Michelle, is there something that you wanted that's not accounted for in the budget?
No, I told you.
Sure, yeah, hers was pretty minimal.
I have no prop repair.
Yeah.
Preparing the new faucet and maybe some paint.
And that's $1,500. So, minimal. And we can cover that.
Yeah.
Even if we get put in the budget.
That's, yeah, and I did on one. I think of the library, I increased it by $500 just to make sure that we have that,
right?
But no, none of the other really department heads big. We always pick on John because it's easy, right? He has bigger, dollar signs and that.
Sure, that's kind of what Al's supposed to be providing foremost. I think.
I think Diana was hoping to replace more of her computers, and I was like, no, we're doing those on a 1-year rotation. Those 3 extra computers. So there was a few minor things like that I was like, I don't want to balloon our budget, and so be big, and then we're retracting back down. We need to be on a regular basis on our investment. So there's a few minor things like that.
We also have police vehicles on a rotation schedule, a pretty regular rotation schedule. And, most of the CIP items are public works and police. So I think, like Amy said, we're trying to flatten the CIP a little bit to make it a little bit more manageable every year instead of having peaks and valleys where we have really high amounts and then really low amounts. So we're trying to get the department heads into that rhythm a little bit and to think a little bit farther, just not on, when I got here, we were doing the CAP budget basically
retroactive.
Yeah, it's just kind of reactive to the needs. And I think we're trying to make our department heads think a little bit more on the horizon of what is 3 to 5 years and what is 5 to 7 years and and what do those things look like, so that we can start putting those in. And then, the thing about the CIP is that you can make adjustments based on what is the priority, but you need to identify it, and then you can make the adjustments from year to year, and that requires good communication with the department heads and understanding really what the needs are. So, John did a really great job, and we really parsed down, I think, things that we really need to replace. And we had a lot of hard discussion about what things are causing us a lot of repair, what are made unsafe, and what things are inefficient with our operations. And I think John was really thoughtful about this year. So I do appreciate I know we've got some big numbers coming tonight, but I think that he did a really thoughtful job of making sure that we're replacing the right equipment and we're getting good prices on the equipment. So I do
I'm pretty
appreciate
sure
that.
John's initial list to me
was
like over $8 million. And I added it up. And then I was like, meeting immediately. You can't do this to me. So, yeah, you know, there are things that we want to do, and John's great about like always wanting to fix everything right now. And I'm like, hold on, like, we can only do so much. So we're learning that, but our budget process starts with our department heads in February. And we're starting to have those worksheets go out, and we're having meetings and talking through, because I want their wish list, and I want to see their vision, and I want them to share that. And that's why we do it right after they come and talk to the council about their goals for the year. We want that all for them to see that on paper and then be able to make realistic decisions from it. So it is a fun process.
Yeah. I did order a book from Michelle. It was How to Manage Your Budget.
I already have a really fun leadership activity planned for them in December, and I'm already gearing up for next budget season, honestly, because we have a really good group, and I think, like, we're finally, I've been here for almost 3 years, we're finally, like, getting a groove of, like, how we want this to flow, and it's a major difference in year one, standing up here and, like, ah! So, yeah, we've come a long way, so, but yeah, I'm happy to answer any other questions you have.
Thank you. I mean, no, I think you're doing a great job. I mean, you guys all are doing a great job with budgeting and trying to keep costs under control. So, I guess the only last question, Liz, in your report, you mentioned the new laws going to require that we have audio recordings of our town council meetings. So, before we talked about, you know, how the town used to record our Zoom meetings, and we talked about, at least I proposed that we have that be our meeting minutes, our official meeting minutes. And I was told that there's a lot of costs associated with making our minutes via an electronic medium. So I'm just wondering, what costs are we going to incur with the new law for requiring at least an audio recording of our meeting?
Well, at this point, not, because they're not our official meeting minutes. And that's clear in the law that it is not. They don't. The audio recording does not have to be
right.
Meeting minutes. So we'll just record through Zoom, and then I have to figure out how to manipulate the file to just an audio. And that's what I don't know yet. But we have to post it on our website within 14 days and then keep it there for a year.
And what's the downside of just including the video as well?
Well, it's just a way larger file.
Storage. We need to pay more for server storage? Is that where we...
Which we don't have.
But why don't we have cloud storage for our data?
Because we don't need it. We have a physical server in the basement. That we're
what if there's a fire in the building? I mean, like...
It's backed up in buildings.
I guess I'm kind of surprised that we don't use... backup and things like that.
Because there's a lot of security risks with cloud backups. And so we use DIS, which is Data Information Systems. They support a lot of local governments in the state. So we really just follow their recommendations. But about every 3 years, we replace that server in the basement. And everything is backed up in Billings. So if the building burned down, our backup of all our data is in Billings. And, but it's... We just do what they tell us to do. We're not IT professionals.
Okay, interesting. I guess I didn't know we didn't use the cloud for our data.
I mean, our software, our Black Mountain software, comes off the cloud. So that's an additional backup. So again, the building burned down. Our software could be restored by Black Mountain, which it pulls down off the cloud. But all of our documents and things like that are physically on the server.
Thanks.
I have a couple questions. On the special funds request, I think the Lincoln Foundation, Boston's fireworks, the VIC assist staffing, I thought it was for bathrooms. Is that just a misprint?
VIC staffing, so they requested 80.
3,000, yeah, 83,000 total. And on the request, they had VIS staffing 50,000, backsplash chamber bathrooms 33,000.
Okay.
So I have the 50,000 for staffing here. And then on that page
Oh, so just under different.
eight, yeah, on
Okay,
page eight,
sorry.
I have, and I moved it last year and then regretted it. So we're moving it back. Because it's just way cleaner to keep it, the cleaning of chamber bathrooms. Page eight at the bottom, it says chamber buildings, and it's line 357. Did we pay for staffing last year? Refresh my memory.
Yes, we have been paying the 40,000 of staffing for many years.
So it's increased this year by 10,000.
Yes, based on her request.
So we separated out, so 30,000 in staffing and 30,000 or whatever it
33,000,
was
yeah.
in
Bathrooms.
bathrooms. So it's budgeted, but it's actual. So at the end of the year, it'll be actual, but that's just what your budget has. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they submitted their invoices for me so we could clean every month and then I
Got
can.
it. Okay. That was a really clarity question I have. Thank you. All right. Anyone in the room or online have any questions to Katie regarding the updated final budget presentation here? Or if you'd like to bash John a little bit about his spending, that's okay too.
Okay, we'll get another staff meeting in the morning. We'll get it
All right. Last call for any questions from anything from the work session regarding the staffing plan or the final budget review.
So we're going to have this on our action plan.
Correct. Yeah, it's going to be later on. It'll be Resolution 828.
So if we want any changes, we have to
We'll
have our
do it.
motion include
Correct.
modification of that.
Correct. Great. All right. Well, looks like no one else raised their hand or have any questions. With that, we will then close this work session, excuse me, and we will resume at 7 o'clock for the regularly scheduled town council meeting. Thank you. All right, ready to go, Liz?
Yeah.
Jeez, you say. All right. I'd like to welcome everybody to this town council meeting at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, September 2nd. Let's start off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we will go to public comment. This is the time for anybody in the room or online that would have like to speak about something that is not on tonight's agenda. Please step forward or raise your hand on Zoom and state your name and your address, please.
My name's Greg Forsyth. I live at 520 Grayling Avenue Street, one or the other. I lived in West Yellowstone, the West Marsh, for over 45 years, and I believe that's longer than any of you have been on the council. When I moved here in 1980, there was no paved streets, only highway 20 and 191 were paved. There was no town sewer or water systems, only septic systems and wells. It was a small town that was compromised with business owners and their employees, but they also were very aware of the need to work together to accomplish success. They had to volunteer their time, their equipment, and their money to succeed. At the time, we had softball and basketball, but we used to have snowmobile races on the streets. After the professional and amateur snowmobile races at the Forest Service, we had Snowmobile Expo, cross-country ski races. We had the Elk Foundation dinners, the Federal Federation of Fly Fishers Conclave, and many other activities that were successful with the volunteer help and their resources. And then at times, as times changed, projects had to be started. This community built a new school in 1996. With that came a new physical education and football field, all done by volunteers. Then came the track and irrigation system, all donated time and materials. Then we had the West Yellowstone Foundation provide scholarships for students and helps provide the bus to Idaho Falls and Boulder, along with the financial help for organizations that serve and volunteer their time for this community. We have a POBOS Center and a Siegel Learning Center for young children. All this accomplished by community partnerships, volunteer time, money, and success. There are so many other organizations that are out-of-town donors that have given their time, labor, and their money to maintain and build this community, to have the activities and privileges we enjoy. But the most beneficial happening that made all this possible was accomplished by six community members that had an idea and a goal to establish a resort tax that would provide means to provide the services that would make it possible to develop the only economic income we have, and that is tourism. These community members were led by Cal Dunbar and consisted of Bob Jacklin, Clyde Seeley, Bill Howe, John Costello, and the town operation manager at that time, Ken Davis. All of these men have spent and still maintain a house for business in West Yellowstone. They spent 4 years in meetings and legislation sessions to provide this resort tax that benefits 11 towns in the state of Montana. This tax helps provide and maintain utilities, roads, streets, housing, equipment, and many more success necessities tourists communities need to survive, none more than the West Yellowstone. This is a community that has prospered from volunteers, organization, and individuals. My point is this. Our community has survived and succeeded because of people that volunteer their time, money, and employees and equipment to make things work. But what I cannot figure out is how come these same people who have volunteered their time and money for years cannot get approval or an explanation or money to build two or for pickleball courts. They have worked for 2 years to provide protocol and gathered $30,000 requested by the council and asked the council for $10,000 for to begin this project. There has been no reply or explanation for this delay, only signs. So I asked two council members and town manager why. One council member was in favor of proceeding. The other's reason was they had not followed protocol. Wow. This is not the U.S. Senate or Congress or even the Montana legislature. This is a five-man town council, and the other and the other was a patient. We will get it done by the end of the year. As I explained to the council in their meetings on building permits, our water and sewer permits that contractors are now working on at least 1 year in advance for starting projects. This goes along with Mr. Koch, who was asked to provide an estimate on lining, fencing, and net replacement on the pickleball courts. When and how the soonest would be he would be able to start this project if he had a contract in a positive location, maybe the end of June or the 1st of July in 2026. There would be a 10-day at least construction period, which everything was on with everything that was on schedule would be July 15th, 2026. 3 years and 2 months. And a wait to enjoy. But maybe the problem is you don't have the funds. Well, I think if I read the graphs and the 25 to 26 budget, right, you exceed your budget by $1.2 million last year. I do not know if you have access. I know you have access to $1.2 or $1.3 million in emergency funds, which you cannot use. And I believe you your investments or saving funds are more than $4 to $6 million. And I may be wrong about that. I believe you have not finalized your budget for 25-25-26. And that will be done tonight. So if I read your meeting's agenda correctly, that tonight you have purchase orders for over $1.5 million. And again, if I come to this conclusion, that this money is coming out of the windfall of 24-25 years resort tax overflow. Can I ask the council if any of you have seen a comparison of new and used equipment costs on this equipment? Have you seen a Case or John Deere or Cat estimate? Have you seen the capacities of the trucks, or could you get two good used trucks for the price of that one? I do not think any of you have any of this information. With the passing of these purchase orders, you have spent $1.1 million total on equipment in the last 3 years. So what I'm hearing is that you cannot commit $10,000 or $50,000 for the pickleball courts. Pretty sad, but since I am on the subject, we cannot commit some funds to our police and dispatch, our fire department, and we could have stable it. If we had that commitment of money to these departments, we'd have stabilization. These are community emergency services, the fire department, police department, dispatch. I don't believe they have to beg for money. Pass your purchase orders. Forget the cotton picking community. Please, would you put the pickleball court request on the next agenda with action? It does not make sense not to. Lastly, social media is not some place for city council members to be on. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else in the room or online have any comments?
There's lots of plans, by the way. So, hello, everyone. My name is Shane Grube. I'm the fire chief for Epping Basin Fire District. I've also been the person pushing to create the Epping Basin Rural Resort Tax District. This tax district will provide an additional funding source for the community that is not bore on the backs of the taxpayers. I'm still very involved in the newly created resort tax district and getting it set up and operational. When you create a resort tax district, you're starting up a brand new local government from scratch. I also want to state that I don't do Facebook or social media of any sort. But last week, it was brought to my attention that a member of this community and the mayor of the town chose not to pick up the phone to get his questions answered, but instead he chose to ask his questions to all the all-knowing Facebook gods. In his post, he states, "What happened to the school funding, community needs, and community education? Typical lies to get more votes. Probably going to the chief to get a big raise while his crew fight for every penny. First, I'd like to address the question of why education and community impact to impacted needs was left out of the resolution. When I started this initiative to create the Rural Resort Tax District, the process is you start by writing up a petition, identifying the issue and what you're going to fund, along with the ballot language, and send it to the elections office to get approval. The elections office sends it to the county attorney to make sure it's all legal. Then you get the petition back to gather signatures to go out to get it to the voters. This is where the issue happened, and it was not caught by me or the county attorney's office. The petition language did not match the ballot language. The words, any additional revenue collected can be used for educational and community impacted needs, was not included in the ballot language. The ballot language stated for fire, EMS, and medevac. Correct the problem. The board of the Rural Resort Tax District is working on a resolution to call for an election in May of 2026 to add education and community impact and needs as a permissible use for the resort tax revenue. So far, there are five members on the board. They are Jason Howell, Chairman, Robbie Poley, Vice Chair, John Byrne, Secretary, Katrina Mann, Treasurer, Jeff Matthews, Director. Three of the five members are on two-year elected terms, and two are on four-year elected terms. The board has adopted bylaws, approved setting up a website, have set up an email for the district and its officers. They've been evaluating remittance platforms, working on securing a short-term funding loan, and have approved the draft ordinance that we'll be doing the first reading on next week. Once a resort tax district is set up and operational on collecting revenue, I will have to then approach the board about funding requests for the fire district. They will either approve or deny. That is strictly up to them. I've been asking the town to address my request for additional funding going on 3 years now, and have been ignored. The district's call volume has increased 40% since 1819. Year after year, 75% of the district's call volume is within the boundaries of the town. 75% of those call volume are tourists visiting our town. In 2007, when the town operated its own fire department, they budgeted $639,000 for the fire department that year. In 2024, the district received $680,000 in resort tax funding from the town. That's roughly a 6% increase. This fiscal year, the town will be roughly paying $690,000 to the fire district. That's roughly a $10,000 per year increase. $10,000 equates to about a 1% increase on $1 million payroll. In comparison, the taxpayers of this community will be paying $880,000 of our budget. So, Mayor McBurney, why are the taxpayers of this community subsidizing tourism? That is what resort tax is for. Why don't you quit ignoring my request for additional funding so that my staff does not have to fight for pennies? Last fiscal year, the town's 3% resort tax was up by 9.78% and brought in an additional $546,074 more than the year before. Thank you.
Thank you, Chase. Appreciate it.
All right. Anyone else in the room or online?
Hi, guys. Lindsay Charlton. Do I have to say my address?
Yes.
Can I give you my name?
Why does anyone say the address?
They don't have to?
Nobody has to.
Okay. I have some people who know.
Well,
at the thing that I went to, they said that you're supposed to be saying
that. Public
hearings,
for sure, that.
Okay, my bad.
No, I just didn't say my ad. Anyways, I was going to send you guys another email, but I feel like you're tired of seeing my name. And I just wanted to remind you that the Conscious course that we got the quote from, as of last week, he is already booked through June of next year. And if this gets kicked down the line and we wait till December to make a decision or approve the pickleball courts, you know, it could be postponed another full year because of his schedule. He travels all over Montana, Idaho, and I think Wyoming putting in courts. So if you could make this
a decision sooner than later to be able to at least schedule it, it would be really appreciated. I want to say thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the room or online? Last call for public comments. All right. Go to council comments. Travis, start with you.
Yeah, a couple things. Many of you know Steve Larson passed away. Been resident here a long time. Unfortunately, he was battling cancer and got the best of him. Also, Greg mentioned earlier about resort tax. Ken Davis and Bill Howell are working on the history of resort tax. And they've asked me to assist and kind of put some of that together along with some pictures that Ken Davis had taken and given them to the Historic Center. I was able to get them back on a temporary basis. We're getting them scanned digitally. Basically, Ken and Bill's goal is to put them together in kind of just a little book that won't be very long, 15, 20 pages. And Howell's available digitally as well as copies to those who were involved early on. And Greg mentioned the names of those. There's a few other people who helped out. And also for the town to have some, each of us to have with a copy. And also the Historic Center. So it's kind of cool. Some neat history. There's fun little things in there. Ken Davis is bad. And I don't think most of us ever heard little stories and so forth. So it'll be pretty neat. So that'll be coming hopefully sooner than later. But we're getting to the point of digitizing it. So I've just kind of been helping them out. So it's kind of neat to be aware of. So look forward to that. So
cool. Right now, general. Lisa?
Just a couple of public comments kind of highlighted my comments. I see we have a couple of people from the Government Study Commission in the room, at least. Our town charter, I think, provides that our town manager sets the agenda for our town council meetings. And I see that as being extremely problematic. Over the last 3.5 years, I've had many things that others in the public have wanted to see on the agenda, things that I brought up, and I see no easy way to get things put on our agenda. And that is like the gatekeeper for what we as a town council are allowed to take action on. So please take my comments seriously. I wanted to attend your meeting last week, and I'm sorry, I didn't get there, so I don't know if I'm taking those into account. But and again, you know, funding requests and all of, you know, the purchase orders, et cetera, I think we as a town have an obligation to provide infrastructure, public utilities, services. A lot of this other stuff is extra, but what I see is that we need to bolster our sense of community. It's lacking in this town. It's not just about how much money we can make off tourists, how much money our business owners can make. I think we need to promote community activities and expenditures that promote this being a good place for anybody to live, not just somebody who's working make money on
books.
So, my 2 cents. Thank you.
All right. And I have no comments. We'll move on to Treasures and Securities Report.
It's posted in the Finance Department.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. We got 4 purchase orders here. First one is purchase order 7093 to Ferguson's Equipment for a new 821 G2 case wheel loader in the amount of $298,152.80. John, you want to give us just a little bit rundown on kind of how you decided on this particular
item? Yes, I would be more than happy to, Council. I went to work looking at Pat John Deere case, all 3 comparative, going through Sourcewell government discounts and et cetera, looking at warranty packages, looking at every single aspect of these tractors. And by far none, I attached those to the, and if you look back, you can see the difference on John Deere and Case. There's almost a $50,000 savings on top of that. Being said, we had a trade-in value, for example, through John Deere, and then let me pull this up really quick, because we're trading in the 938 Cat that we have, which has over 14,000 hours on it. It's 18 years old and it's completely worn out. The transmission is shot. Just to replace the transmission, to give you guys some insight, just to replace the transmission is $54,000, not counting the motor and everything else. So the tractor needs to be down the road. John gave us a trade-in value of that tractor for, one second hand, sorry, it's right in front of me.
$42,500.
How much?
$42,000.
No, total trade-in value through John Deere is $35,000. Case is giving us a trade-in value of that piece of equipment for $42,500. So they're giving us that much more for that tractor. The Case tractor is with everything, bells and whistles, and all the winter package on this tractor that we need. Nothing, no thrills, just what we need for the snow removal, the snow tires and et cetera. And this is a larger tractor than the one that we have, the 624 tractor that we have. It's a larger. It helped get move that snow a little better, like especially out in snow, fill snow yard. So with that being said, we were able to get that tractor for $298,152.80 versus the John Deere, which was $347,201. We did look at leasing options. Leasing option is not a good option. And you, by the end of the day, you pay a lot more money on this, and we don't get the services that they say that you get. On top of that, the reason why I like Case equipment versus John Deere is you have to buy the warranty to the John Deere, and Case provides that 3-year warranty with the cost of the sale. So they're doing all the oil services, every single aspect of repairs for 3 years, done. So to me, the Case was a much better deal than the John Deere or CAT piece of equipment, and these are all done through Sourcewell discount, government discounts.
Perfect. Thank you. All right, with that, what is the pleasure of the council?
We'll make an motion to approve purchase order $7,003 to Torgensen's equipment in the amount of $298,152.08.
I'll second.
So moved and seconded. Is there any comments or questions regarding this? Start with Lisa.
Just as always, I thank you. You do a great job. I know you really try to make sure that town's getting the best deal financially, and appreciate the work you do for that.
Kevin.
Yeah, last year we purchased a blower that went on the front end of the loader.
Yes,
sir. Is that blower compatible with this loader?
It will actually, this tractor will run better on this tractor. We don't have plans to put that.
We don't have an additional loader. We still only have
one loader to move snow, one loader to run the blower. When we're not blowing, we can use that second loader to move snow as well. But that big blower goes on that 624.
Thank you.
And this is just replacing. So I need to make this very clear. This is replacing the 938 with that versatile hinky blade. And this does have that hinky blade attachment. It's one of the costs to this tractor. So that our articulating hinky blade fits this tractor. And then you'll see in the next purchase order, we're buying a blade for this tractor as well. A flat straight blade.
All right.
Well, John, I'd like to thank you for doing your research. I looked into a little of it, and you've really beat up everyone on these prices. That's what all I have said.
Okay. That was. Thanks. Okay. I would just say thank you, John, for looking into all this. You do great work. All right. Anyone in the public or on the Zoom world had anything they'd like to say publicly? Last call for public comment. All right, bring it back to the table.
Call for question.
Of course, I've been called for. All those in favor of approving purchase order 7003 to Torgerson's Equipment in the amount of $298,152.80, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chair votes aye. Passes. Next, we got purchase order 7105 to Floyd's Truck Center. This is for a 2021 Freightliner SD122 dump truck in the amount of $100. John, want to give us a little rundown on that one?
Absolutely. So I've been diligently working and looking for used dump trucks out there for 6 months. And actually, this was amazing. Floyd called me up and said, hey, we just had one come in, and we're going through it, and it is one truck. They didn't even get it out in the parking lot for sale yet. And I went down and looked at this truck. And like I said, I've been looking at dump trucks for 6 months out there in the field, and there's not a lot of good used options out there. And I just want to say this, I don't have the bids in front of me, but I have other companies giving us bids on brand new trucks that are $315,000 for a new dump truck with no bells and whistles on it, just a stripped down model for, and that's what we're looking at to purchase new. So when I found this truck through Floyd's, they had done, and I have this attached to the bill. They did $18,000 worth of repair work on this truck to bring it up to snuff. It has a set of drops of axles on it, so it has the overload axles that drop down. It's a very large bed. It has a pintle hitch to be able to haul up the trailer in the future. It has everything we need for this, the to be moving snow. It's a very nice truck. And I was able to get a trade-in value that was given to us 2 years ago for one of our old Freightliners, that, which I showed you guys on this, that it has a bad ram on it. Just for the ram repair was going to take $20,000+ to fix the ram. And that's been quoted through Broadwater Equipment Repair. I also have Broadwater Equipment come down and look at this truck and go through this truck to make sure it's what we want. They gave us a 100% thumbs up on this truck. I feel that it's a very good truck for our system. I believe it will fit our bill for 10 years. And that's what I'm kind of looking at. Everything we try to purchase, it's a 10-year work cycle. We move it out of 10 years. So they're giving us $14,000 trade-in. They're holding that. They gave us this quote when the ram was good on the truck 2 years ago. They're still honoring that $14,000 trade-in value. So with that $14,000 trade-in value on this truck, I was able to get this truck for a total of $181,290 out of the door. And I attached all those repairs. Plus, it's like that one more thing. This truck has had an oil analysis to the motor and boxes. It's attached to this. That oil analysis is like blood to you. It checks everything inside that motor to make sure that motor is, we're not buying something that's going to cost us money in the future to repair. And the motor oil analysis came back perfect.
All right. Thank you. All right. With that, what's the pleasure of the council?
I make a motion to approve purchase order 7105 to Floyd's Truck Center in the amount of $181,290.
I'll stand with that. Stand with the second. Is there any comments or questions? It's time for language. Travis. Brian?
So is this it's bigger than the standard 10-yard?
It's just about the same size as Tri-State's. Has a big bed on it. Big set of grub bags.
16-yard.
Big, big tall tennis. And it has a rock bed on, so the snow moves out. It's nice. It's sweet. It's a really sweet truck.
Are the emission controls going to bother this thing?
No. No, I agree. So that's a great...
That is a problem.
It's a great question. So this, and I looked into that. It is. So because this Detroit motor is one of the largest motors that Detroit makes, and emissions is a big deal. So what we found I'll call it a REA, DEF, that we have to put in this equipment that you have to put in these trucks now. It is a problem when on the motors, when you do the stuff that we do. For example, we're not getting out on the road and running down the highway with DEF in. So we do a lot of in-town driving, stop and start. This particular motor does really well with that, and that's something I checked in on because I was concerned about that. And so, yes, we're in good shape.
Thank you,
Lisa. Thank you, again, Jeff.
All right, and thank you again. All right, is there anyone in the public or on the Zoom line? They'd like to say.
And it's white.
Last call for public comment. All right, bring it back to the table. Questions been called for. All those in favor of approving purchase order 7105 for Floyd's Truck Center, amount of $181,290, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes. All right, next we have purchase order 7005 to Torreson's Equipment for the case HD14 Snowblade for the loader, amount of $20,100. I don't think this one needs as much description. So with that, what is the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion to approve purchase order 7005 to Ferguson's Equipment in the amount of $20,100.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any comments or questions regarding this? Lisa?
No, there's probably nothing to need to.
Very self-explanatory. Yeah. They do have the inky blade attachment. That's something that we have to be added to these blades to make sure it fits the inky blade hooked up on the purchase order.
Jeff, well, right?
No,
Travis. I don't either. Anyone in the public or online? I see a hand up. Jan, go ahead.
So I have a question for John, just to help me understand how the whole process works with the snow removal. You have one loader. And you just purchasing another one. One was to move the snow, one was to blow the snow.
Okay, so Jan, we have a blower that we attach to the 624 John Deere loader. That's what we take the snow and put it in the dump trucks and remove the dump trucks to take it out of town. We use that loader probably 65% of the time loading trucks, and then the other times it is running around moving snow as well. But this particular tractor and blade is to replace the 938 that just moves snow in town.
Okay, so you're getting a whole new move snow system with blade, tractor and blade. And
yes,
then you'll
yes,
have the one that you exist already and the dump truck to work through those systems. Is that the full process? I'm just trying to learn it.
Yeah. So again, we have one loader that moves snow just strictly, and then we have one loader that blows snow and moves snow. And we use those two particular items in two different types of situations, removing the snow from town.
Thanks for explaining. Appreciate it.
Any other questions online or in the room? Final call for public comment. All right, bring it back to the table.
Question.
Voices in the call for all those in favor of approving purchase order 7005, Jorgensen's equipment in the amount of $20,100. Please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes. Next, we have purchase order 7107 to Jorgensen's equipment for the Trail King TK224LP trailer in the amount of $39,619.45. This one does need a little bit of an explanation if you want to give us a reason why we're doing this one.
I'd love to. So we go out to the cemetery with the backhoe. We've been out there 14 times this summer alone using it. And we travel down the road with the backhoe, and it is very dangerous. I mean, extremely dangerous. It's extremely hard on the piece of equipment. And we've also been stopped two times with DOT saying, we need this on a trigger. And that being said, that's one aspect of this. The other and the largest aspect of this that I want to give the council is this. We paid Joe Johnson Equipment last year alone to transport, for example, to have them come up out of Billings to work in our sweeper, $8,400 just for that particular travel time. We had the water truck breakdown last year in Belgrade, and down there cost us $6,400 in tow bills. With this trailer, we can haul our equipment to get it repaired. It makes much better sense to be able to, if we have to haul a piece of equipment to Joe Johnson's or so forth, we can put it on the truck and we transport that piece of equipment to them and save the transport cost alone. And that's huge. And it'll pay for this trailer. And then we also, and again, I don't have operators out there on the road because there's not an operator that drives that backhoe and doesn't come back. Casey can testify to this in this room right now and say it is very dangerous. And on top of that, we can use that piece of equipment for hauling pipe, manholes, rings, etc. We do not own a piece of trailer. We do not have a trailer in town that can haul anything. And this is something that town public works department has needed for a long time. This is a very good trailer. You can see that I beat them up on price. The closest price I could get besides this was Floyd's for $54,290 versus $39,619. And these both have the Source One government discount cost due to them associated.
Perfect. Thank you. With that, what is the pleasure of the council?
We need a motion to approve purchase order 7107 that Ferguson's equipment an amount of $39,619.45.
Well, second votes removed and second. Is there any comments or questions? Lisa.
Sounds like a no-brainer. Thank you.
Yep. Well, all right.
Do we have operators that have a Class A?
Couple. I mean, that being said, it's a great point. Is it going to take all of our operators get Class A's to all this? Yes. Is it capable? Are we capable of doing it? Yes. It's something that the operators can take care of and do. And I encourage that.
Yeah. Go. All right. Does.
No.
I don't either. Anyone in the room or online have any comments or questions regarding this? Last call for public comment. All right, we'll bring it back to the table. Question on the call for all those in favor of approving purchase order 7107 Torgerson's Equipment, amount of $39,619.45. Please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes. Next, we have our claims. Claims in the amount of $1,188,103.37. What is the pleasure of the council?
I make the motion to approve the claim in the amount of $1,188,103.37.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any comments or questions regarding the claims? Lisa?
No, thanks.
Yeah?
No.
Brian?
No.
Travis? I don't either. Anyone in the room or online have any comments or questions?
Who seconded that?
I did.
Last call for public comments on the claims. We'll bring it back to the table. Questions for call for all those in favor of approving the claims amount of $1,188,103.37. Please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes. We have no business license applications. We will move on to the minutes from the August 19th, 2025 Town Council meeting. What is the pleasure of the council?
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes from our Town Council meeting and work session from August 19th, 2025.
I'll second that.
And Ruben says, is there any comments or corrections for the Senate comments? Right?
No.
Joe? Lisa?
I always vote no for the format of our minutes, but I do note that it says Chief of Police Chris Wickman is here. He was not. He had already resigned at this meeting.
We can remove that, I think. All right. Any other questions about us? No, I don't either. Anyone in the room or online have any comments or questions? I will call public comment. Bring it back to the table. Questions have been called. In favor of approving the minutes from the August 19th, 2025 Town Council meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. Dan, turn this time over to you and the staff.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. First item tonight, I just wanted to say thank you to Katie for the preparation of the budget and also to the department heads. As I mentioned, the work session for the thoughtful discussion as we're kind of working through things. And I just appreciate Katie. She's really brought a good approach to the budget, I think, to make it simpler and easier, I think, for the and I think she does a good job of educating both the department heads and the council as we're working through the process. So I just appreciate her approach, and I don't think she started smoking this year, so.
Still can't.
Not yet. Very good from the audit. So we are, we've received one letter of interest for the public services director. We'll be doing an interview on Thursday, and if all goes as planned, we'd be hopeful that we can make an offer very soon for fill that position. The person rec board is meeting with my steel new thunder.
Right now, okay.
I gotta need something to talk about.
I need to talk
about. So part of the rec board meeting on the 10th to review the RFP. And if it makes the budget tonight, we'll have it sent out soon after that. We met with Forest Service last week regarding an easement that was in my council report. There's an easement that goes like diagonally through the 80 acres. So we are working with Forest Service to try to get that realigned so that that easement goes back into Madison Avenue. So we'll still allow access onto the forest, but also be able to align our grid appropriately. So we will keep working with them on that process.
I believe that term will is Danny Wampus.
Danny Wampus.
Danny Wampus.
Yeah.
That's maybe that's an insult that was careful with Caddy.
And then we have SCADA selection interviews. So the SCADA system to run the wastewater plant. Forestry has analyzed the firms, and so we're going to be meeting with a few of the firms this week to get proposals from them and make a decision. That system. And then just a couple of things. I don't know. We got an invitation from the town for the building dedication at the Montana Community Foundation in Helena for Arnie and Stephanie Siegel on Wednesday, September 17th at 1:30 to 2:30. It asked to, I don't know if you guys got these individually, but these were addressed to the town. So if you are interested, you can grab the flyer. And they asked to RSVP by Friday, September 5th. So I plan on attending. If anybody else is interested, I've got that. And then I did also get an invitation from the Starlight Hotel that's opening up. They're having a grand opening October 8th at approximately 4:30 p.m. So we are welcome to attend grand opening. And that was all I have this evening.
All right. Anyone have any comments or questions for Dan or the staff?
Yes.
Brian?
No.
Jeff?
No.
Lisa?
I have one question, and not to correct him, but the Parks and Rec Advisory Board meeting is actually tomorrow, so that's what the email says.
Yes.
Okay.
It wasn't posted.
Correct. It wouldn't be posted. Oh, okay. Sorry. I was going to move this way. Sorry.
All right. Okay. All right.
The 10 to 5:30.
Okay. I'll read.
All right, I guess we will go into advisory board reports to clarify the Parks and Rec meeting there. Anyone have any advisory board reports they'd like to bring up or mention? I'll see any head shaking.
Parks and Rec is meeting on the 10th at 5:30. It was supposed to be tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Jeff? All right, there was a Housing Coalition meeting. Unfortunately, I could not attend. They recapped they talked about the NERMED, which is the Northern Rocky Mountain something, the one we approved last week, came and talked about housing and marketing and the business analysis proposal that we approved for them to do. They also talked, they had a little brief synopsis with the what's going on with the wagon wheel apartments. Probably what the meeting minutes said. I said I wasn't there, so I don't really know a whole lot more than that. So, all right. Moving on. We will now move on to our public hearing for the fiscal year 2026 budget. Looks like I'm going to leave this. Is that...
Yeah.
All right, this is a notice of public hearing. The Town Council of the Town of West Yellowstone will hold a formal budget hearing for the fiscal year 25-26 budget. Said hearing will be held during the regular Town Council meeting, Tuesday, September 2nd, 2025, which begins at 7 p.m. The hearing will be held in Town Hall Chambers, located at 440 Yellowstone Avenue. The Town Council will consider adopting the proposed fiscal year 25-26 budget resolution and set the mill levy during this meeting. Public hearing will review revenue resources, revenue sources, maintenance, operation, capital projects, debt services, payments, and equipment purchases for the general fund, special revenue funds, debt service funds, capital project funds, enterprise funds, and agency funds for the fiscal year 25-26. Public is invited to attend, and any taxpayer or resident may be heard for or against any portion of the proposed budget. The proposed budget, final budget, is available for public review at the town offices. We'll get in for holding Yellowstone Avenue. All right, with that, we will open up the public hearing. It's for anyone in the room or online that would like to make comment regarding the budget for fiscal year 26, please step forward or raise your hand on Zoom and say your address. We'll come forward.
Greg Forsyth, 520 Grayling. Anyway, Katie, my remark doesn't have anything to do with it. It's just an understanding that I would like your budget and revenue and the budget and expenses is $4 million some hundred dollars. Do you have revenue placed somewhere else that you're going to use to make up those budget and the expenses, the revenue?
So my last one in the public hearing, or should I wait till the...
I think we have to wait on that. It's more of a public comment during the next portion.
Sounds good.
We can do that. Thank you, Greg. Anyone else in the room or online have any comments? I'm curious. Second call for public comments in room or online. Third and final call for public comments in the room or online. It's again, third and final call for public comments. All right, we will now close the public hearing and we will now move on to new business. This is a big one too, so please bear with me as I read this. This is for ordinance number 280. This is going to be the second reading for the tribal trailer parks in the E2 zone. This is an ordinance of the town council of the town of West Yellowstone amending title 17, chapter 25 of the West Yellowstone town code to add tribal trailer parks as a conditional use in the E2 district. Whereas the town council of the town of West Yellowstone believes that including a historical conditional use in the E2 district is in the best interest of the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of West Yellowstone. And whereas the town zoning code was adopted in 1982 with various amendments having been made to it over the years, including allowing tribal trailer parks in the E2 district. And whereas on September 3rd, 2024, the town council adopted a revised zoning code, which erroneously failed to include tribal trailer parks in the E2 district. And whereas it is in the best interest of the town to minimize historical nonconforming uses within the town limits that present no negative impacts to adjacent landowners and one which complies with the current state regulations on local zoning. And whereas the West Yellowstone Planning Board has had several meetings to discuss the revisions and recommended that the town include travel trailer parks as defined in Title 17, Chapter 4, as a conditional use of the E2 district that is attached hereto as Exhibit 1. And whereas on August 5th, 2025, the town council of the town of West Yellowstone held a public meeting in which it was presented and proposed zone text amendment as recommended by the planning board. And whereas the recommendation from the planning board included reestablishing travel trailer parks as a conditional use of the E2 district, the planning board recommended that the town adopt the revised zoning code as submitted. Whereas on August 19, 2025, the town council held a duly noticed public hearing for the first reading of the ordinance revising the zoning code set out on Exhibit 1, which it received public testimony in favor or against the revised zoning code, as well as information from the staff. And whereas, date to be filled in, 2025, the town council held duly noticed public meeting on the second reading of the ordinance revising the zoning code as set out in Exhibit 1, of which it received public testimony in either favor or against the recommended revised zoning code. And whereas, based upon the recommendation of the planning board, the staff reports and the public testimony, the town council believes that it's in the best interest of the citizens of the town of West Yellowstone to adopt the ordinance enacting the recommended revised zoning code. Now, therefore, be ordained by the town council of the town of West Yellowstone that the revised zoning code set out in Exhibit 1 attached hereto is hereby hopefully adopted tonight and shall entirely replace the Title 17, Chapter 25 of the 2024 zoning code and its previous amendments. All right. With that, what is the pleasure of the council?
I'll make the motion. We accept the second reading and adopt ordinance number 280.
So it has been moved and seconded. Is there any comments or questions relating to this? Let's start with Travis. Right?
No.
Jeff? Lisa?
No. Thanks for making the change. Thanks for submission on board.
And I will say that's a lot of words for a five-word addition to this thing. all right. Anyone in the public or online have any comments relating to ordinance 280? Final call for public comment. All right, bring it back to the table. Questions been called for. All those in favor of approving the second reading of ordinance 280 and adopting ordinance number 280 and adopting it for the travel trailer parks in E2 zone, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes. All right, next we have the revised staffing plan. We had a work session about this earlier tonight. We do have a couple options here. We could either adopt the staffing plan as presented in front of us, as recommended by the
hotel, or we can make modifications as fit. So with that, what is the pleasure of the council?
I'll make the motion to adopt the newly presented OSHL staffing plan.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any comments or questions regarding this? Lisa?
Just to piggyback on the comments I made earlier, see Diana's in the room now, but at this point in time, I do not support increasing the social services position to full-time from three-quarter, but I'm in full support of the other plans. I think we should see how we can divvy up overflow within our larger town offices to help. You need to go to Bozeman or wherever Aaron's to cover shifts. And I also pointed out, I'd rather see, if we're going to be putting money in the department, I would rather see it go to an increase in their salary. So those are my comments. I would make a secondary motion, but I'm sure if I made it, it would not get a second. So if anybody else feels inclined to support my feelings on that, feel free to make a secondary motion.
Jeff? Brian?
No, I'm in favor with it. I just expect Dan and staff, there's a living document, so if stuff isn't working out right, we should revisit it.
Great. Travis?
No, appreciate a lot of stuff was shared earlier.
Yeah. I don't have any comments on this. Anyone in the room or online have any comments regarding the new proposed staffing plan? Come on up, please.
Good evening. I'm Diana Hansen, Director of Social Services, and my address is 300 Lewis Avenue.
Oh, we don't need that.
Lisa, since you're the only one that kind of has a question, I would like to take this opportunity to basically describe what we're doing in our office and why we feel that the three-quarter time would be better, more efficient, and help our department if we can go to full-time. So I know most people realize in the summer we take care of a lot of needs other than our community members. So there's usually not a question in the summer that maybe two people would be definitely busy. You cannot cover every need if you're one person. And probably the reason a lot of people don't know what we do. So a lot of things that we handle sometimes are crisis, unexpected things. So if we get one of those random things that happen, and sometimes they more than we would like, most likely I have to visit with them confidentially. So it's closed doors. So the lobby is left with no one attending it. And oddly enough, that has happened to us many times when Tia's not there. The other thing is, in the winter, we shift from taking care of a lot more J1s to addressing unemployment, because a lot of our people and community members are seasonal. So we help with LEAP, which is a low-income energy assistance program. We deal with unemployment. And the thing with unemployment, doesn't matter during the day, there's so many people have to come and use our public computers. So some of our, and most, I would have to say, of our clients need assistance, whether it's because they're not tech savvy or they have a problem, other issues, I was just thinking of that. One of us usually has to sit there and actually sit with them till they complete the filing system. So you're not able to answer the phone while you're helping them. You can't address any issues when it comes. And we have, we're quite good at tracking. So any client that comes in, we need to know who it is, what they're there, where they're donating, going, you know, where they're going. We take their information if they're going downstairs. So just one person addressing, taking care of who's coming in, what their needs are, getting information for our tracking system, and we have to put that data in our computer, takes quite a bit of time to keep on top of that. One of the reasons we do that is because that gives us information to allow us in our grants to talk to people about what our needs are, how many people we address, and those kind of things. So in the fall and winter, we still take care of SNAP, Medicaid, but we add in LEAP because it's winter, and unemployment. And one of the other things that is very difficult is when most people like to apply for SNAP, which is the food assistance. With that, there's constantly renewal with Medicaid, all of these things. So you can't just take one person and be done. This is a renewal process. So with that, we have to sit with those people and do interviews because some of them have difficulty with that. So the one-on-one is constant, whether it's unemployment, SNAP, LEAP, whatever it is. So that one person in the office is consumed. So the other one needs to be there to address other needs, voucher needs, data that needs to be filed. And I will say that we take pride and we've done, I think, a very good job of keeping the clothing bank. I don't know if you've been down there. The clothing bank and the food pantry takes a lot of time to make sure it's clean, things are packaged right, loading, even just if you mentioned going to Bozeman, that we do two times a week, or two times a month, excuse me. But the thing is once those loads of food come in, it's not just the driving to and from. When we have that there, one person is just busy all the time, just managing, restocking, stuff downstairs, inside, you know, taking donations. So it's just a plethora of many, many, many needs that we have. So if we don't have two there most of the time, we can't efficiently or effectively take care of the community needs. It's just we're lacking somewhere if we can't have that balance. It's just it's very difficult to feel that you're giving quality time and effort and care for those. So did you have any specific questions that you'd like to?
I don't discount the value that you provide, and I know your heart is in it, and you work super hard. Unfortunately, you missed out on some of the earlier comments. I mean, Dan, even if he raised this, said he wasn't sure, you know, in the winter season, you know, whether there was really a need as well. And, you know, I commented there were a lot of people who said they volunteer in the summer helping, but I just feel that, you know, the town is spending out another $60,000 a year for a deputy clerk in the front office. It's another $15,000, I understand, to up the number of hours for TIA, for the social services associate. And, you know, we have lots of people saying, you know, we can't put that money into pickleball courts, you know, and we've got, you know, Shane Group has been asking for more money for essential services for our town. And I just think that we need to be more efficient about staff our positions. I think you should have the staffing that you need, but I think that it should come from within other positions in our town hall for the times that you need extra help. That's just my own.
Okay, so if I could address that, it's very, very difficult to bring someone in, say if I have a disaster happen or a crisis, or we just have a plethora of needs, say a day that you don't know when people will call, need something, or make an appointment. I wouldn't have the time, nor Tia. Tia's learning a lot of the things that I do and trying to be able to help balance out some of those needs, but we couldn't pull from someone else because they don't know the first thing about the paperwork, the interviews, the real need that we would have. They might be able to clean for us if they want, you know, to keep things neat and tidy, but the actual needs of the people, I don't know how we would manage that. Does that make sense to you?
I hear you. My guess is all the other four will vote in favor of the staffing plan as the motion was proposed. So you're probably not going to change my opinion on the topic. I don't see social services as an essential service for the town more than what you're already staffing it. Mm-hmm. I see the library
has asked for more hours, and I see a lot more people in the community using the library services, and I know they've increased their services a lot. They have computers that people can use. I know they don't have people one-on-one, you know, hand-holding them through everything, but they do have tech support there now. I mean, I think we just need, we are in charge of taxpayer money, and we just need to be more efficient than sometimes what I see in how we spend our taxpayer money. And if it means people have to, you know, work a little bit harder and help each other out more in the town offices, I think that should be tried first. Maybe get volunteers more. I mean, I don't know. That's just my own opinion on the issue.
No, and I get that. I understand. The government has their opinions. Yeah.
We're going to end the back and forth here.
Okay.
So.
Yep. Well, I hope that if you have any other questions, you're welcome to send business. I appreciate your attention to the matter and look forward to your, hopefully your favorable consideration, and we can help to be able to assist helping people's needs. So, thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else in the room or online have any questions or comments? Last call, public comment. Bring it back to the table.
Call for question.
Questions been called for. All those in favor of adopting the new revised staffing plan, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
All right. Next, we have a resolution. Resolution 826, this is a resolution of the Town Council of the Town of West Yellowstone, Montana, the County of Gallatin, and the State of Montana, adopting and establishing the mills to be levied for the fiscal, wait, no, mine's backwards, I'm in the wrong, originally 826?
826, is it?
No. Oh, there it is. it was in the wrong word. My apologies, everybody. All right, so... this is Resolution 826. This is to establish a special revenue housing fund. Dan, do you want to give us just a little bit, or Katie, a little bit rundown of what kind of the idea behind this is?
Yes, I would love to. So this resolution would create the fund 2976, I believe. And it would allow, as I discussed in the work session, just a generalized housing fund for us to be able to plan projects with subsidized housing for our community members. It'd be looking at whatever their needs may be, if it would be a small loan, whatever that looks like, looking at the Gallatin County Housing Impact Fund as well, having them administered, but just an overall housing fund to help some of our community member needs as we're looking at suitable housing for them and, you know, our future development of the 80 acres as well and what that's going to look like. So just trying to plan ahead a little bit.
Basically just a space holder for money, and eventually we can dictate later on what it's going to be used for. Just very high level. Okay, thank you. So this is Resolution 826. I'll read the right one this time. Resolution establishing a special revenue fund for the housing projects in the town of West Yellowstone. That's what this is about. All right, with that, what is the pleasure of the council?
I'll make the motion that we approve Resolution 826 to establish a special revenue fund for housing projects in the town of West Yellowstone.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any comments regarding this resolution? Travis?
I think it's great to have something there available to us for future opportunities.
Right.
Travis and
Jeff.
I agree with Travis. One of my concerns is that we currently have a revolving loan fund. I don't think it's being utilized appropriately. If we had to farm that out to another agency and run for it. So I have some concern on the amount of money we're putting in, as well as how it's going to be managed, the application process, and so forth. That's all be worked out in the future, right? And when there is templates out there that we can review and say, this is us, so this one doesn't, this is us. So, thank you.
Lisa?
I guess to piggyback again on my work session comments, questions, I still have questions on what this means. And $500,000 is a lot of money to just put into a fund to be defined later as to what's going to be used for. I think a lot of people in the community would probably not be supportive of us subsidizing housing for certain people and not others. I mean, maybe that's all to be defined, but let's define exactly what we intend to do with the money before we put $500,000 into the pot. So I'm not going to vote in favor of this.
Would we determine the amount of money we're putting in?
It is in the budget, but doesn't
so
mean that we
have,
do it.
But we still have to determine.
It's budgeted for, correct.
Okay. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to help solve our housing crisis, whether we use some other state agency that's already set up to help facilitate this. I think this is the next step forward to getting a housing crisis in this town under control. So thank you, Katie, for closing this for tonight. Anyone in the room or online have any questions regarding Resolution 826 for the housing fund?
From the board.
Oh,
yeah. I'm just going to mention that this is establishing a tool.
This is just establishing a tool.
Yes,
it's not a study.
Yeah. And obviously, with the budget, we're setting aside money, but there's going to be a lot of decision making that needs to happen.
Yeah, it's not a carte blanche. Yeah. It's just we're starting.
That will all be defined and explained to the council and explained to the community prior to those decisions being made. So I just wanted to.
We're laying the framework for
yes.
For the future. Got it. All right. Anyone in the room? Big, we're starting to stir a little bit.
Yeah. I was just wondering, is this the one that's it costs you $10,000 a year to renew?
No.
That's not it.
There was in the budget or something I saw, there was $510,000 proposed. There was $10,000.
$10,000 for if we moved the money over and like did the step interest. Right now, there's still, I budgeted $10,000 for interest earned if we didn't spend this money right away.
Is that not what grows?
No, I believe you're talking about a fee, correct?
Yeah, it's $10,000 each year.
Like an administration fee for someone else to manage the money for
it. It looked like, and I think it was the budget, I saw something like to open the account, it was another $10,000. I think I saw that somewhere.
Well, I had it. We haven't said that we're going to use a different administrator at all. There is no administration fee. I put it as interest earned on the $500,000 potential.
But listen, I saw something in our documents tonight about $10,000 to open the account or do something with that. I think is maybe what Greg's talking about, and I wish I knew how to use my iPad. I just started.
But, okay.
Page 7.
Okay, so on your page 45 of your budget, I put $500,000 for Gallatin, potential Gallatin County Housing Impact Fund, and then I said $10,000 that we move in there for just cash for the fund to remain open if we decided to use it for Gallatin County. We need to keep some type of cash in there.
It's on page 45 of your budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what does that mean? Why would we budget $510,000 instead of $500,000 then?
Because there's potential as we're looking forward to projects of possibly moving $500,000 into the Gallatin County Housing Impact Fund, we would need to keep some type of cash in our fund to remain open for future projects for future years of putting money into that fund. It's best to keep some type of money, and I just chose $10,000. Doesn't mean we do it, it's just a placeholder.
Why wouldn't that come out of the $500,000?
Because they want to use the whole $500,000.
Yeah, if the project wanted the whole $500,000, it's just like a checking account, right? Like, you need to keep some type of cash in it to keep it open, usually. Sorry, Mr. Tracy did his head down there.
Okay, again, you know, I asked Dan for more information on the partial email that was forwarded, and I've been stonewalled, and without more information on what is envisioned, I just think this is opening a can of worms to even put this in place now. Because once things get put in place, people say, oh, it's already in place,
yeah,
but we'll just do it. So I am really, really wary of this particular resolution. So,
anyone else in the room or online have any comments or questions? Final call for public comments.
How long do you have?
Please.
Sorry, how long do you have to use it? Is it there for 5 years, 10 years, whatever you guys said?
This is just laying the framework. We're not putting any money to anything.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So this is, I think that's time just there. I think there is a time limit on it.
Thank you.
20 years from now, but as long as the framework's there, I mean, it can be. So that's kind of forward thinking. All right. Last call for public comments. All right, bring it back to the table. Questions been called for. All those in favor of approving Resolution 826 to establish a special revenue housing fund, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
Passes. Next, we have Resolution 827, which I was so eager to read earlier. This one's to set our mill levies. This is a resolution of the Town Council of the Town of West Yellowstone, Montana, the County of Gallatin, and the State of Montana, adopting and establishing the mills to be level for the fiscal year beginning. I said levy, didn't I? Levies. The fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2025, and ending June 30th, 2026. The mills, just so everyone understands, is 24.98 mills. What is the pleasure of the council?
Make the motion we accept resolution for 827 to adopt and establish the mills to be levied for the fiscal year beginning July 21st this year and ending June 30th, 2026.
I'll second that.
Ben moved it second. Is there any comments or questions regarding this resolution? Lisa?
Can you refresh my memory on how mill levies work? Is this the maximum amount we could set?
Yes,
it is. And we always generally set the maximum amount, or no?
There was one year that we did not when I first started because our general obligation bond was over, and so we had to reduce. And so that happened. But typically, yes. And so there's a whole calculator set up by the state, all these calculations I have to do. And it's basically about a 1.5% increase over 3 years, but they take in a new taxable value and all these things. So I follow the calculator, and then we do set the maximum. As you can see, this will increase our revenue for the increase this year is
$15,800.
Yes. Jeff?
How is that reflected on the tax plan?
It is.
How many mills are going to absorb or increase?
That is an unfair question with the new legislation. But I'm happy to do a work session.
Jeff, chances are your property tax are going down to your residential.
Yeah, I read that too. I got 650 back last year. This year, I need 400. That ain't going on.
No, but your actual tax bill.
No,
I've dug into it too. And residential properties are going down while commercial and second homes are going down.
The mill levies doesn't set the tax, right? It's the number of levies are then divided out or something to come up with what your actual tax is going to be. So even the more mill levies there are, the lower your tax.
The taxable value of a mill levy changes year over year. Correct. And so it is just the amount. After all the calculation is the amount that we
can follow you do.
I'm happy to do a work session because I think it's great for the community. I'm sorry, I'm not ready tonight.
You can
find out. All right, losing focus here. Brian, you got any question now? I don't have any questions either. Anyone in the room or online have any questions regarding Resolution 827, set the mill levies? Final call for public comment on Resolution 827. Bring it back to the table.
Off question.
Questions and call for all those in favor approving resolution number 827. Please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. All right. Next, we have resolution 828. This is the resolution to adopt the fiscal year 2026 final budget, which we had a public hearing about and also had a work session about earlier tonight. This is a resolution of the Town Council of the Town of West Yellowstone in the County of Gallatin, State of Montana, to adopt the budget for the fiscal year 2026. Hopefully it's adopted tonight. It's going to give us the adopted, I'll just read some of this here, we adopt the general fund revenue budget in the total amount of $4,743,682 and a general fund expenditure budget in the amount of $6,980,896. And we'll have a special revenue funds budget to the amount of $8,366,904 and special funds expenditure budget in the amount of $10,476,504. We'll also have a capital improvement project program funds revenue budget in the amount of $2,191,332 and a capital funds expenditure budget in the amount of $4,458,521. We'll also have a water and sewer fund in the amount budget of $37,965,000 and an expenditure budget in the amount of $38,206,842. And then we'll have a trust and agency revenue fund budget in the budget amount of $478,610 and then trust and agency expenditure in the amount of $498,090. And then the copy of the budget will be part of this resolution. So what is the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution number 828 to adopt the town budget as presented.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Is there any comments or questions regarding this? Travis?
There have been some comments made, and if you look on page 15, there is $14,000 set aside for the pickleball courts and another $20,000 for the master parks plan, which has been a lot of discussion, which we've been having for some time. It's there and things are moving on that. Well, it's a slow pace and not the fast pace I would like, but these things are being addressed. Well, things came lost up here.
Brian?
No.
Jeff? Lisa?
Kind of interesting when you see that resolution, it all summarized here. And what's noteworthy to me is that our expenditures far exceed our revenue. So is that typical?
Yeah, I'd love to address that before I start too, if I can.
Yeah, go ahead. This is the time.
So when it comes to any budget, right, you're always looking at your potential revenue plus your cash. And there were projects last year that didn't happen or came in lower than we thought, and we still had that revenue, and so we have cash. And so when we're looking at that, I have to go by fund, with our cash amount in that fund, potential revenue for the year, and make sure it doesn't go over expenditures. And that's what makes your complete balanced budget. And we've so far never had not a funding on our budget with me either. Like, I'm very diligent about that. So I know when it comes to the resolution, for me too, it's like, but with that cash amount in there, it makes everything work. And I never let the department heads ever hear the word rollover, but in a way, that's kind of what it does, because that cash does come in, it sits there until we get that project done.
Thank you. Very good explanation.
Very
good. So you said earlier in our work session that the essential services component for our Pepco Basin Fire District contract, it's all budgeted based on our current budget, but if we should amend our contract or put a new contract in place where we are contributing more toward EMS services provided to the town, that we have plenty of money to work with, correct?
Potentially, yes. Like, that's why I said, like, each fund has to be individually monitored and is individually monitored by me all the time. And so when we're getting close to hitting that over expenditure, then, as I said earlier, a red alert goes off, everybody's notified, right? And so we cut off spending until we adjust. So yes, there's always going to be a little bit of flexibility. There are things that we're like, we don't know how much snow removal we have to plan on for this year, but this gives us the best guideline that we can go off of and best outlook we can of our future year. But we do have a little flexibility there, I guess.
Thank you. And a question for Dan. So if the town council adopts this budget with the money for the pickleball in it, will the pickleball courts be on the agenda for our next meeting?
So typically we would just budget that and work through public works and get it just as we do for everything else. There's no other decision making from the council that should be required about once it's in the budget. That is brought back to the staff to make the project happen.
So then based on everything you've heard, timing, you would get working on this ASAP so we can get on the schedule to get the well courts done as soon as possible next year.
Absolutely. That's what we've been talking to the community. That's been the messaging for the last 2 weeks is that we have a master parks plan that needs to be done. We understand that pickleball needs to be done, but we have other things in the hopper yet this year. But we have made it clear that as soon as we can get it done in the spring, we'll get it done.
Okay, well, it's reassuring to know that no further action by town council would be needed to get rolling on that.
I think what we'll have to do, you know, we need to look at that internally. I know that we've got contractors, but we're also going to look at multiple quotes as we do with everything to make sure that we're getting the best price and the best value on the
so loop. You're going to put it out for bid.
It doesn't need to go to bid because it's under the threshold, but if it's over 20,000, we generally like to see two quotes to make sure we're getting the best price. I haven't seen it at any cost at 5,000.
So you will put it out for bid?
It won't be out for bid. John will solicit quotes. He'll understand like what exactly you're going to put the work out for. And that's part of why we asked it to go to the park board is because we need to see what is possible because we understand that even on the space, four courts probably aren't going to fit on that space. So I think we'll just need to make sure we do an evaluation of that and then we put out what people want.
Are we going to have to be asked to pay for a study?
No, I mean, it'll either be part of the parks plan or we'll look at it, we'll just ask the contractor to see what he can fit into the...
Public Works has already looked at the...
Hey, what's the space?
Public Works has already looked at the space there. Casey, how many spots can we put in there?
You only have enough room for three courts on the blacktop that's existing. That'll take out both of the basketball courts. Yes, so...
Is there room to put more hard surface down and put more courts there? I mean, maybe we need to look at a larger scale than being constrained to what is already there.
There is the upper end.
So we could...
You just have to pave more asphalt and groundwork.
So how much was the one quote that I know they said they raised?
$34,000.
That was the total for the quote? Or that how much they raised?
Two courts.
So they raised $25,000 about. So why doesn't the town council pay for all of the infrastructure themselves? Why wouldn't we budget the whole amount?
Why don't we let John do his job and he can get quotes from people that do this for a living?
Yes, so we could look at several options, folks. We could look at what we can do. What we have existing, and then we can get you guys a quote for adding on to make more. We can do a lot of different things. I'll bring it to you and you guys make a decision.
To me, it seems like we should be budgeting for what the total cost is, not relying on some people having done fundraising, but we should be putting the entire project cost in our budget. I mean, do we know that the funds people have raised are readily available to us, or is that going to be the next holdup that, you know, we thought we had $25,000 in donations, but now it's not there?
I haven't seen a check.
So seems to me like we're really not putting teeth into the pickleball courts unless we budget the whole amount of what we expect the project is going to cost. Is that fair?
As many people as come into my office and literally cried in my chair over pickleball in the last year, They have the money. It's being held, I believe, through the senior center as our fiscal sponsor. And Lindsay is in charge of that and very diligent about that. And we've had conversations. So I'm not worried about the funds disappearing.
Should we not budget the entire amount and then hope that we'll get some money in to help offset the cost, but at least we have it budgeted so that if money doesn't come in, we at least can fulfill our promises?
With any project looking at it, especially in the fall, that would probably be done in the spring or closer to the end of the fiscal year. There have been many projects in this town that have gone over budget. And once again, it just flows within that fund, right? We need to be watching that. We need to be thoughtful for it. And so if we run into an issue that we're $2,000 short or whatever, I think we're going to be okay. Like, there's been plenty of projects that they go over budget and we adapt and we figure it out.
Well, I don't know,
foresee, like, holding up this budget for that concern.
So the Master Parks plan, you budgeted 20,000, but you expect it to be 15,000, right?
Yeah, we're starting to really get off track here.
I know, I still have some questions. This is,
okay,
this is probably the most important thing we do all year is our budget.
I understand, but we're really getting to the weeds about hypotheticals. And
this is not hypothetical. So if we're budgeting more for the Master Parks plan,
Lisa, we're gonna stop. We're gonna get back on track.
You're cutting.
I'm not cutting you off. Please get to a point.
Can we talk? We're budgeting more than we expect the Master Parks plan to cost, right? 20,000 versus 15. So I'm just wondering, why don't we do the same for pickleball? Is it not doable? Can we not increase the line item for pickleball?
The draft of the RFP from the Parks and Rec Advisory Board shows 15 to 20,000 on their drafted RFP. The request that came in on the special budget report from Lindsay to the council that was looked at in June or May was 14,000. That is why I budgeted those numbers as being conservative and went off of what those numbers I was given.
Thank you. I'm going to make a secondary motion. Probably won't get seconded, but for the record, I would like to remove the $510,000 line item for the community housing fund from our budget.
Motion dies. Would like a second? All right. Any other comments, Lisa?
I'm not going to be voting in favor of any budget with that line item in this. So.
All right. I'd like to thank Katie for making the budget. I know it's always tough to do, and there's always tough decisions throughout the year. You have to decide who gets what and how it goes down. I believe that we will get these pickleball courts also into set place, and I think we'll do it right. And it might not be on the exact timeline that everyone wishes, but it's going to happen. And not to dismiss the pickleball players, but they currently do have two pickleball courts that they can play on. So we're not out of pickleballs. They can still play. Anyone in the room or online have any comments regarding the budget? Please step forward.
Yeah, I was going through the budget, and I would like to ask a question. How much rollover cash did the town have this year?
I would not answer that question at this time.
Ballpark, somewhere around 10 million?
No. With all the funds or general fund, or are you looking at all the funds?
All the funds.
Closer to 6 to 7, maybe?
Okay. The only other thing I wanted to point out that on page 12, of the budget under the fire department, it shows last year we received 680,000 to 41, and this year it shows we will receive 680,000 to 41 also.
Yeah, I did already catch that, but once again, you're covered in the general fund. You're usually the first thing to hit, and there was a couple of things when I first did it It did not flow over.
Okay. I just want to point
yes.
that out.
Yes, I didn't remember. I didn't light it on mine to make sure. Yes.
Good catch. All right. Anyone else in the room or online have any comments or questions? Final call for public comment on Resolution 828 to adopt your final budget. Forever hold your peace. Bring it back to the table.
All the questions.
Questions been called for. All those in favor of approving Resolution 828, 2026 final budget, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
All right. Passes. All right. We are done with the official agenda. We are now on to our correspondence, meeting reminders, FYIs, all that fun stuff. Liz, you're up.
Our next meeting in September will be the 16th. We do have 5 Tuesdays in September, so in lieu of any special work sessions, fun? No. So then in October, our meetings will be on the 7th and the 21st. And then, as far as I know, we'll stick to the same schedule in November, which will be the 4th and the 18th. The 4th will be Election Day. That is a meeting day, but we will have a ballot box here, and we have to babysit it until 8 o'clock that night. So, just so you know, kind of bodily for each of the council meeting with us. And but then somebody from the county comes down and shakes it up. Also know that the League of Cities and Towns Conference is in Billings this year, October 15th through 17th. So if anyone's interested in attending that, please let me know and they should register. We do already have some hotel rooms on hold. We've had those tied up for a while, so they're hard to get. And that's all I got.
Quick question. I know it's way far out there. The December meeting, are you looking December 2nd and 16th?
That's our typical schedule, unless somebody has a conflict or question.
I will be in Key West on the 2nd, but you guys are welcome to still have the meeting.
Okay, thanks. You can zoom in.
And?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that. I mean, I definitely have 5 Tuesdays in December, but I don't think we want to move into a meeting to Christmas week.
No, I'm just making sure, just in case. So I will be missing that meeting, just warning everyone.
I see it.
All right. Anyone have any upcoming meetings? Oh, I see Brian is shaking his head.
Yeah, Parks and Rec is meeting any time.
I'm sorry, I'll never turn back again.
Jeff, you got one?
Yeah, business improvement at 11th at 8 o'clock here.
Okay, Lisa?
I don't have any meetings, but out of full transparency, we was going to read the letter to all of us town council members, police chief witness.
No one's going to read that because that pertains to staff issues. And
he's not currently a staff.
He was a staff issue. He should not be reading that.
Well, it's a publicly available.
I disagree with you.
Okay, we'll talk to the
attorney
if somebody in the public requests it. It is publicly available.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it. Comes
Matt Fun, September 11th with noon.
All right. Anyone else have any meetings or upcoming stuff we want to talk about or share with us? All right, then. Thank you, everybody, for attending. Without objection, we will adjourn. Good night.
No objection.